Our scripture reading is found in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his hands or his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You were to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while they were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. So as Pastor Steve and Pastor Aaron were mentioning, we are on our missions week, and our first guest speaker, I have the privilege to introduce, his name is Pastor Dominique, or Missionary Dominique Jacobs, and I've known him since 2012, I believe. I was still a student at TBS, and he was running a missionary module where we would do a short-term mission trip at Thorncliffe, which was a densely populated Muslim area. And I had the privilege to work with him, to have him lead, and he has and still does a burning passion, a conviction to reach the lost, to reach the Muslim population. And recently connected with him, I've had a own conviction in my heart. Little India is just across the neighborhood. It's completely unreached. There's no gospel preaching there, church there. And I've been so burdened for that. And just at God's providence, we were able to connect with Dominique. And he is now, because we didn't have direction, but now we have Dominique, who's been leading us in a mission ministry where we've been going, or we've been learning about Little India. We actually went last Thursday for the first time there to pray over it and to share the gospel. And it's my privilege to work with him again and introduce you to him. So Pastor Dominique is going to give the message.
My dear beloved brothers and sisters, good morning. It's a joy to be here. It's a joy to be the voice calling in the wilderness, not just to us here, but all the Christians all over the world. So let's start with the $100 million question. Have you heard of that question, the $100 million question? That question is, since the day you were saved, since the day when the Lord came and saved you and you were born again, did you personally usher an unsaved person into the kingdom of God? Let me repeat it. Since the day you were born again, you were saved, did you usher or try to usher an unsaved person into the kingdom of God? We need to bring this question with us, never forget it, and play it over and over again in our minds, in our hearts, until the shackles will break and we will go out and we'll do this. You know, it would have been wonderful, beautiful, if the Lord took us all up to heaven just a few minutes after we were born again, we were saved. But the sad thing is, he did not do that. He left us here. Why did he not beam us up, each one of us, when we were saved, at that very time when we were saved? The reason is found in verse 20 of the passage that our beloved brother Mark has just read. Therefore, go, the first word that hits us like a punch is, go, not just sit where you are, not just continue to do what you are doing in your lives, with your life, but go and do what? Make disciples of all nations. In the past, what happened was that people would have to, what was the name of the missionary? They went to different parts of the world to share the gospel, to bring the gospel to them. But for us, the Lord has done great, mighty things. Canada is a beautiful country, right? And there are people from all over the world who are here. Recently, when I was in Pakistan, when my brother died together with my wife, and everyone there was asking me, how can I go to Canada? Can you help me go to Canada? The world is in love with Canada. They want to come here because they know that there is freedom here. So the question is, what does God long for? That's what people want. They want to come to Canada. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, we read, then the master told his servants, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in. These are very powerful words. Compel them. It's just like grabbing someone by the arm and saying, come, you have to come, you must come, you need to come. There is something here that you need. When my wife Gladys and myself, we were ministering in Queens, New York, we were based at the church building like this one, and I said once, let me try if it works to compel people to come in. And I would stand by the gate, and people in that area were mainly Hindus and Sikhs and Muslims. So using the cultural knowledge, because I am, my ancestors were all Hindus. So I would stand there, and I would greet them, Sat Sri Akal ji, Namaste ji, and then I will grab them by the arm. And I'd say, come in, and they would be surprised what's happening? What is this guy trying to do? And then some of them would come, and my wife would be there looking down from the window to see, did he catch a fish? And she would come down. Of course, she's from the Philippines, so she would dress herself up like Indians, Pakistanis, and she would also come and serve the tea. And gradually, we were able to build a little congregation of former Hindus and Sikhs. This, it is possible, but then what do we have to do? The Lord is telling us, compel them. We can compel them with our actions, with our love, with our prayers. These are the tools that we have. However, we have a problem. We have an enemy who is also talking to the unsaved people. Actually, he is screaming his lungs out, distracting us, you and me, all Christians, from the main purpose for which the Lord has left us here on this earth. That is to make disciples. He is, to a great extent, he is successful, because all of us sitting here, how many of us have actually led some people to salvation? Not all of us. Maybe some have. Congratulations. But that this command, make disciples, is for every Christian. If we are Christians, then we are disciple makers. There's no exception. This is the number one job of every Christian, to make disciples. Missionaries like David Livingstone, the person who led me to the Lord when I was in Africa, he was also David. He was from England, and he was not Livingstone. He was Lidstone. So every time I read this, I go, wow, yes, that person. Amazing person. He brought me to the Lord. And he didn't do anything great. He just was kind and nice. I saw there was something different. And then one day he invited me to his house for a cup of tea. It was much more than a cup of tea. There, I almost became a Catholic priest. I was trained to be a Catholic priest, and there was everything else but not the gospel in all the training. And then that night when I went there to his house, there were a few other people. It was an underground Bible study, and that's where God captured my heart and my life. And eventually I became a missionary. So missionaries like David Livingstone, they would have to go to different countries. Difficult for them to travel. They would have to learn languages of those people, their customs. But guess what? The Lord has made things easy for you and for me. He has brought the unsaved right among us. How many times we pass by a mosque or a temple, so many temples here in our area. Acts 17:26 tells us, from one man he, that is God, made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Not when Canada was established many, many years ago, I was not here though, I just read about it, there were not many people from my part of the world. There were perhaps even none. But God had already appointed times for people like myself to come to this country, and he had determine the boundaries, the places where they will live. And in order to bring the life-giving gospel to the unsaved around us, that was the purpose. So we do not have to learn the languages, do we? No. How many of us speak Farsi or Hindi? Perhaps none. We don't have to do that. God has made it so easy for us. So the unsaved people are living right next door to where we are. We are among the unsaved people. Almost all of them know English or French, depending on what language they know. So yeah, they know. We don't have to learn their languages. They speak English. We talk to them. They will understand. The unsaved are our neighbors, our office mates, our schoolmates. They are everywhere. We cannot avoid them. They ride with us on the buses and trains, and they even shop at the same places where we shop. There is no way that we can avoid them. We should not be annoyed with this, but we should be happy that, yes, God, thank you, I see. This man, every time I go to the store to buy something, this man is always there. And beginning next time, I'm going to smile at him and say, hello, how are you? What's your name? That's the key to the heart of a person. What's your name? And they love to tell their name. And you know what? All these people whom God has brought here are lonely. They are lonely. They want people to show some interest in them also. Back home, they were okay. They were important. But here they are just common persons. What's your name? That is the key to begin. Among the many, many unsaved that the Lord has brought to our country, there are Buddhists, there are Hindus, Sikhs, Muslims, Zoroastrians, Jains. Have you heard of Jain people? Tarzan had a wife, her name was Jain. But these Jain people are also, that's a religion. Back home where I come from, yes, there are Jains. But among here, among the ministry context that we have, there are some Jains too. And they are our neighbors. All of them are our neighbors. They did not just happen to be here. They are here because God planned for them to be here so that you and me, we can go to them, share the gospel, and bring them out of darkness into salvation. So nevertheless, only about 1% of the Christians are living an evangelistic lifestyle. Our lifestyle should be evangelistic lifestyle. But only about 1% are doing that. God was behind the choice of the house that you purchased. Did any one of us here buy a house recently or a few years ago? You know who was behind that choice? We go and we talk to agents and all that. But actually, the truth is God is behind all these choices. All because there are unsaved people in that area where you and I live. Listen, brothers and sisters, we are not coming back to this world once we leave here. Well, Pastor was talking about some person who just passed away, went home to heaven. I didn't know that person. That person is not coming back. One day, we will go also. We will go home to heaven. We will never, ever come back. And when we arrive in heaven, after the Lord would have welcomed us, welcome, my child, He will ask us $1 billion question. My precious child, why did you leave Ali and Mahmoud behind? Why are they not here with you? Later on, we'll talk about these two names, Ali and Mahmoud. So we might ask the Lord, who are you talking about, Lord? Who are these people, these names that you just mentioned? And His response would be, I am talking to you about your neighbors. I work behind the scenes to make sure that they would be your neighbors, your schoolmates, your office mates. My purpose in all this was that you, not anybody else, but you will be my instrument of influence for their salvation. And that's who you and me we are. Instruments of salvation and influence for their salvation. In Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 21, we read, now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. That was possible. A great number of people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ because these people were willing to just open their mouth and talk to them. You and I are scattered people. We all come to this land from other countries. Means all of us are scattered people from different countries. God has brought us here. In the case of the Christians who scattered to different places from the land of Israel, they moved initially to save their own lives. But in the process, they brought the everlasting life to the people among whom they moved. They were running away. There was severe persecution in Jerusalem, so they ran away. But as they went, they brought salvation for others. We are carriers of the gospel. I'd like to mention the donkey that the Lord Jesus Christ rode when he entered Jerusalem. People were waving palm branches and taking off their cloaks and putting on the ground. And the donkey must have been thinking, oh, I must be the president of all the donkeys in the world. So much honor to me. Only if he could speak, perhaps he would say, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's nice. I like it. I like it. But it was not for the donkey. It was for the rider. It was for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and me, we are like that donkey. The Lord Jesus Christ is, listen to this, he is with us, he is in us, and he is for us. He is with us, in us, and for us, and for a purpose. Today, it is the other way around. The Lord has scattered us all from the places where we were born at and has brought us to this land to help people come out of unbelief and come into the kingdom of God. He has provided to us this wonderful opportunity to work hand in hand with him. Work hand in hand with him. Not by ourselves. He is the one who is working. We have to just go and hold his hand and join him to work among the unsaved people to bring them into the kingdom. We are familiar with Little India, right? Brother Mark mentioned it. Forward is the fortress of the Lord. This is the fort of the Lord. From here, the believers must bring the gospel to the unsaved at Little India. What attracts the many unsaved to come to Little India are the restaurants. Have you tried one of those restaurants? If you have not, go. If you have already done, go again and again, because that's where you will meet the unsaved people. And they cater to different kinds of food. You can, technically speaking, any kind of food from any part of the unsaved world can be tasted there. For me, my personal is Moti Mahal. That's where I like to go because my ancestors were Sikhs from India. So they're serving my kind of food. So when I go there, that restaurant is like a magnet. Pulls me towards it, and I go in and I know what food to order. And that's happening also with all the other followers of other religions. They have the food that they like, they want, they crave, they dream. It's there. That's what attracts them. But also, there is something more significant there. There are shops there that sell gods. You want to buy a god? There are many gods there. Of course, we have our God. That was kind of a joke. It's, that place is like a God bazaar. In the first time when we went to Little India during our training session, we walked into this store and Brother Mark started conversation. And there were gods, and they are very happy when we step into that shop, one of those shops. And they will try to explain to you, this is God so-and-so, he's good for this, and he does that, and this one does this. And we were smiling. Why? Because there are a couple of crosses also there. Even they are selling Jesus there. Okay, so, and I must not forget to tell you this. In our first meeting that we had about this adventure of eternal consequences at Forward, we used to have those meetings there in that hall there, we changed the name of Little India. We just went ahead and changed the name. Now we like to call it, and you can, there's no copyright on that, you can adapt that too, it is Our Big India. It's not the Little India, it's Our Big India. We did this based on Joshua chapter 1 verse 3, where the Lord said to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot. So easy, so easy. Just go there, be present there. Let's go. Claim the land, and especially the lost souls. They are more important than anything else. So we were talking about Ali and Mahmoud earlier. I said I'll explain. These are two young men who live in Thorncliffe Park, where we live and do ministry. And they are our ministry contacts. That means we are in the process of sharing the gospel with them and also their families also. None of them have fathers. They are here with their mothers. And just last week, they were walking home from Tim Hortons, and out of the blue, some guys came with a machine gun and shot them. So Mahmoud is okay. He has some bullets in his leg and arm. But Ali is fighting for his life in the hospital. You know why? Because they were on their way to becoming Christians. They were in the process. We were sharing the gospel with them. We were meeting with them. And the enemy tried to snuff their lives before they would come to the Savior and be baptized. The enemy is very, very, very active. Time is short, my dear brothers and sisters. We must get out of hiding. If we are not involved in evangelism of any kind, then we are cowards. We are hiding. Hiding and not going out. We need to get out and go and do the work for which the Lord has put us here in this world, in this country. During the years that we ministered, when I say we, that's me and my wife, we ministered in the Philippines. We saw this happening there also. Christians come to church, are fed spiritually, go home and forget about it. They don't go and talk to anyone. So what we did was that in Philippines, there are different provinces, and there is one province called Mindanao, and there are majority Muslims there. And so we contacted some of our contacts in Mindanao and asked them, are there some Muslims who have become Christians? They said, oh yes, quite a few. So we asked them to bring some of them to the province where we were so that they can go and Muslims who have converted and challenge the Christians to go out and share the gospel. So one of them, the lady was Dang, D-A-N-G, and she shared her testimony. And like that, she was standing by the pulpit. And then at the end, she said, "Brothers and sisters, please forgive me. But I have to tell you the truth." And then she pointed her finger to the congregation. She said, "Madamot kayo." Any Filipino here? No. Well, okay. You know madamot? Greedy. You have what the world needs, but you are keeping it, hoarding it for yourself. You are not sharing with us. And that put us all to shame, because that's very true. Brothers and sisters, we don't have much time. Come with us. We are beginning to go to our big India. It was wonderful, Pastor. Where is he now? There, okay. Was it not? It's wonderful. They were having a very lively conversation with some Muslim men, right? There is work to be done, and it is fun. You will like it. Once you get the taste of trying to evangelize people, you will tell us, "Go again, go again. Let's go, let's go. Let's do it." Angels are not coming down from heaven to do it for us. It's our task, a task, and we have to do it. God bless us all. Amen.
Thank you, brother, for that challenge this morning as we think about evangelism. We're going to close with one more song. I love this song. It's called "I Love to Tell the Story." The reason that I love this song so much is for this reason. It's about the gospel. And here's the truth about the gospel. You are not going to go evangelize because it's your duty. You won't do it. You're not even going to go evangelize because you feel that there's a need. Because as soon as you get rejected, that will turn you off. The only reason that you're going to go out and tell people the story of Jesus is because you love it. And it matters in your own heart. And you know that it's true. Standing before God one day and Him saying, "Why didn't you evangelize?" is not going to motivate you today. Standing before God one day and Him saying, "I love you and you're mine," and that really impacting your heart is what's going to motivate you to go out and tell the gospel today. And this song talks about the truth of the gospel, the need that people who've never heard it have for the gospel, and then the third verse, and it's my favorite, talks about the need that those who know it best have for the gospel. You will be motivated to evangelize because you love Christ and you love the gospel, and this song speaks to those things. So I want to encourage you today, as we sing this song, as we'll stand together, to remember this truth and to ask God to help you to love the gospel enough to let it overflow in your life to those around you. So let's sing together.